Before the 8 o'clock news, I was speaking with Nicola Roxon. You would have heard us talking about the impending High Court challenge against the government's plain packaging legislation for cigarettes. Let's go back to that case now and look at the legal arguments and the legal side of that. The central argument is that the government has taken the tobacco company's brands and intellectual property, an argument that applies whether or not plain packaging actually reduces their sales. It just centres on the fact that that property has been confiscated. But there's also a new argument that's emerged. Philip Morris Asia says that the packaging laws breach an international trade treaty because it will adversely affect its investment in the Australian arm of Philip Morris. Nicola Roxon seems pretty confident that they're going to win that case. She's said that before, the government has said that before and ended up being wrong. We asked Philip Morris Asia for an interview and they declined. But to look at the legal aspect of this, we're joined by Simon Evans, who's a Professor of Constitutional Law and the Pro Vice Chancellor International at the University of Melbourne, and perhaps most importantly, was my property law lecturer in 1999. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Walid.
I feel a bit weird calling you Simon, I've got to say. this case that's heading to the High Court, seems to me Philip Morris's constitutional argument is a bit thin because they're not actually confiscating property. They're just saying you can't use it on a package. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I'm sure that's what will be at the heart of the government's arguments in response to this case and, in fact, to the three other cases that have been commenced by other tobacco companies in the High Court already. Philip Morris, I think, was the fourth of the tobacco companies to file in the High Court. The argument has several strands to it. One is that the legislation takes away Philip Morris's right to use its trademarks on the packages. The second and third are that the legislation takes away Philip Morris's rights to control what their packets look like and what the cigarettes look like. Without regard to trademarks or anything, it's just like saying if the government passes a law that says you can't paint your house whatever colour you want to paint it, the government's taking some property right that attaches to your house. The government says you can't decorate your packages or your cigarettes how you like, they're taking away your right, your property right, to control the appearance of your cigarettes.
Except haven't they already done that in the form of warnings and things like that so far, just to a more limited degree?
I think that's absolutely right, and the essence of the argument, I think, is that this is the last shred of the ability of the tobacco companies to control the appearance of their packets and their cigarettes. I mean, as to whether the argument has any substance to it, it all depends on what counts as an acquisition of property under the Constitution.
So this is the Castle argument, isn't it?
It's not unlike the Castle. I mean, the same provision of the Constitution is in issue, a provision that says that the Commonwealth Parliament can make laws to acquire property, provided that acquisition is on just terms. It provides just terms composition for what is acquired. The critical issue here is going to be whether the Commonwealth actually acquires anything. You can make an argument that the Commonwealth takes something away. It takes away certain rights to use the trademarks, and it takes away certain rights to control the appearance of packages and of cigarettes. But does the Commonwealth actually acquire anything itself?
And well, how does it acquire anything here any more than it acquired anything when it, say, banned advertising during sport?
I think that's a really key question to how this case comes out. The High Court has insisted in a 6-1 decision just a year or so ago that for there to be an acquisition, the Commonwealth or someone on the Commonwealth's behalf actually has to acquire something substantial and connected to property. And the tobacco companies will say that what the Commonwealth acquires is the right to control the appearance of their property, or the right to dictate how the tobacco companies use their trademarks. The first of those arguments, right, to control the appearance of the cigarettes and packs, that's not something that's been litigated before. It doesn't fit neatly into any of the previous cases as to things that have counted as an acquisition. And as to the trademarks, it looks an awful lot like what the Commonwealth has done is reduce the scope of those rights or reduce the instances in which the tobacco companies can use those trademarks. But as for the Commonwealth actually acquiring anything, it's a little hard to see.
Certainly the way it seems to me, but of course the High Court, who knows? I mean, they can go whichever way they want. Can I just come to the other limb or the other argument, which is the international trade treaty argument?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there are two questions with that. One, is this a strong argument to say that Philip Morris Asia is going to say, well, we can't, it's compromising our investment in Australia and you're not allowed to do that under a treaty? And if that is a strong argument, the second question is, does it matter?
Well, the trade law case is a discrete area of law from the constitutional arguments, and it's not one that I am as intimately involved in. The prohibitions on affecting investments, they're related to this constitutional provision in that restricts the Commonwealth's ability to acquire property. It's the same idea that governments shouldn't be able to adversely affect property rights in a way that is unfair to the property owner or the investor in property. And the strength of that case will depend on the body of case law that's grown up around these investment treaties, the bilateral and multilateral investment treaties that exist between nations all around the world. And I can't specifically comment on the strength of that case.
But are they going to run that in the High Court? Because if they don't, if they run it in some international forum and that's the focus, then who cares in the end? It's not going to be enforceable in any way that's going to affect the government.
Well, the international trade argument we run in a tribunal under the UNSTR trial rules, and you know those proceedings have commenced and the process of appointing arbitrators has commenced, as I understand it. And if an award is ultimately made by the tribunal, an award meaning a judgment for compensation, the Commonwealth will be bound to pay that award to the tobacco companies. Mm. The consequence, if the tobacco companies win in the High Court on the constitutional argument, will either be that the legislation is inapplicable, or that some fallback provisions apply. Whereas the consequence in the international proceedings could be that substantial compensation is payable to the tobacco companies.
Simon, good to talk to you. Really good to speak to you. And I promise I'll get that essay to you eventually. That's Simon Evans, Professor of Constitutional Law and the Pro Vice Chancellor International from the University of Melbourne. 13 minutes past 8, you're on Radio National Summer Breakfast.